What is up, everybody? It is officially Royal Rumble week, and today I am joined by none other than Jason Solomon to talk about WWE Royal Rumble predictions. This is it. I can't believe we're officially here. Jason, welcome to the show, by the way.
Thank you. Thank you for having me. I appreciate the time.
Yeah, man, I feel like you and I feel like it's been long overdue for us to do a show together. So I thought about it. And I was like, I'm going to reach out to him, see if he can hop on in. And you said yes. So like, here we are.
Yeah. Well, it's busy. I'm still packing for Florida because I'm going to the Rumble. Of course, I'm only half packed. So I'm running all over the place. I don't know what I'm doing. I'm sure I'm going to forget stuff, but it's all good.
Yeah, man, I'll tell you, I'll make you feel better, man. You are half packed. I have not packed anything, like not one thing. I was literally going to do that after this podcast because I'm like, I haven't packed equipment. I haven't packed my clothes. I haven't packed my beauty supplies. Absolutely nothing.
No, believe me, I'm in the same boat. So I think it's going to be, and I'm streaming tonight too, because of course tonight's AEW Dynamite. So when that's done, and then the early wake up for the airport, I'm debating if I should even go to bed. We'll see how that works.
Oh, man. It's those days, though. But it's fun, though. It's worth it.
Yeah.
Getting to go out there and get to do all of the things that come with, attending the Royal Rumble, doing the media event. So I'll see you there. All right. So before we get into the predictions, obviously, we only have four matches. Mm-hmm. I kind of wanted to get your thoughts, Jason, in terms of, obviously, you know, as a lifelong pro wrestling fan, for you, like when you look at the Royal Rumble, what's the excitement level like for you? Where does this land in terms of your favorite shows, your favorite pay-per-views?
Well, the Rumble has always been my favorite. I mean, everybody talks about WrestleMania. A lot of people talk about the Rumble. The Rumble, to me, there's always just a fun atmosphere around the event. You don't know who might show up. You don't know, you know, who it's going to come down to. And for me, you know, growing up as a young wrestling fan in the infancy of the Rumble, I remember the days when you had, you know, Hogan and Piper and Savage and Flair. And so I have an affinity for those older Rumbles, and it's just kind of carried on into my old age. So, I would say the Rumble's always been my number one.
It definitely is. Like the way that I see it, to me, the Royal Rumble is the event that you can get like friends who aren't wrestling fans to come in and hang out for a bit. And like, even if you don't watch the product, like you're going to have a good time being like, oh, I don't know who's next. This is like opening a box of chocolate. You don't know what's going to come out.
Well, that's the thing. I mean, I feel like if you were to sit down with a non-wrestling fan and just show them a regular match, just like any random match, it's a pretty good chance, you know, at some point they'll lose interest. They'll start looking away. The Rumble, though, there's always something going on. So I feel like it's kind of impossible not to keep your focus on what's going on and be interested to see who's coming out next.
Yes. Now, here's the thing. Yesterday, there was a ton of news that broke, too, in pro wrestling. Obviously, WWE Raw going to Netflix, The Rock joining part of the board of directors. I mean, it has just been nonstop. And this obviously ties into WrestleMania, ties into the Royal Rumble. Jason, for you, like just kind of seeing all of the news and the buzz headed into not just the Rumble, but headed into WrestleMania 40, ever since really we had this merger with TKO. Dude, how are you feeling about just like where WWE is at the current moment?
It's crazy. You know, it kind of started a couple of years ago where you could feel the product started to get hotter. Because we went through this period probably maybe 5 years ago where, to me, creatively, it was as bad as it had been in a number of years. And so somewhere along the way, it really started to tick up. And then, you know, when Triple H first took over creative, you could feel there was an excitement as far as what's going to happen now. You know, for the first time in four decades, we're actually going to have somebody else at the helm, you know, kind of running things creatively. And I think a lot of it ties back to that. Now you see what's going on. Just the number of top baby faces that they have between Raw and SmackDown, from Cody to Seth. And I mean, Roman's not a baby face, but just the number of stars they have. I can't think of another period in two plus decades where the product has been this hot. You know, when you see the events, they're selling out, obviously a gajillion dollars now for this new Netflix deal. So I kind of feel like the company is idiot proof in a lot of ways. They could afford to make mistakes if they wanted to, and they would still be, you know, they would still be kicking ass because business is booming.
You know what gets me excited is that, you know, we're talking about them joining Netflix with Raw. It finally feels like, and I don't know about you, but like me, I have a lot of non-wrestling friends, my best friends in the world. They're not wrestling fans whatsoever. And I always sort of feel, I hate to say it, but a little bit of an outsider, kind of like a freak in a way, not to like the extreme. Well, I know that feeling. Yeah, and you know what I mean, right? Like when I talk to them about pro wrestling, it just seems so out of left field, right? And obviously I'm going to mention it because it's part of my job, but it's just not like I feel like such an outsider. But now with Raw on Netflix, I don't know, I kind of feel like it's gonna be this thing where I won't be surprised if my friends mention it to me and be like, hey, so wrestling on Netflix, what's going on?
Yeah, well, I mean, Netflix is the number one streaming service in the world, so everybody I know has a Netflix subscription for one reason or another. And it'll be interesting to see how many people say, oh, you know, it's behind a paywall now, I'm just not going to watch anymore. And how many people actually do that? I suspect that if you have people that have been watching Raw for a number of years, if you have people that are fans of the show, they're not suddenly going to just say, oh, well, I guess I'm not going to watch Raw anymore. You'll have some, but I think the majority of the people who are watching the show now, if they're not a Netflix subscriber, even if they have to drop some other subscriptions they have, they'll probably migrate over. I think there'll be kind of a honeymoon period at the beginning. They'll make a big, big deal about it. You might see crossover with Netflix stars. The Rock will be on Raw promoting it. It's going to be a big deal. And we'll see, you know, that little period when the USA deal ends and the Netflix deal begins. You know, do they work out a deal where they just continue on USA for 3 months, or do they end up on Peacock? You know, you have that little donut hole where they have no agreement, and we don't know yet where Raw is going to air. But yeah, I mean, look, there's going to be a lot of excitement, I think, as far as will they make new fans. I think they might. I don't see it as any kind of catastrophe where people are going to fall off and the buildings are going to be half empty because they're hiding the show behind a paywall. I think it's the way of the world, and I think you're going to start to see, you know, possibly in time, other companies, you know, may end up doing the same thing and following suit. WWE started the network 10 years ago at a time when some people thought they were crazy. You know, you're cannibalizing your pay-per-views. What are you doing putting it on streaming? How many streaming services are there now? Too many. So yeah, it'll be an interesting time. There's still questions that have to be answered. Is it still going to be 3 hours and things of that nature?
What day is it going to be on? Oh, my God. I don't even think I would want Raw on a day that isn't Monday. Would you? Like, I mean, I'm sure that's we know it's a possibility, but it would just be so weird.
It would be, you know, as somebody who's been watching the show pretty much since the very beginning, I can't really imagine it being on another night. SmackDown, I could see being moved up to earlier in the week. You know, you could have back-to-back Raw and SmackDown. You could do a Monday, Tuesday thing. When you really look at it, if they want to avoid football, you would avoid Monday. You would avoid Thursday. I don't know if they want to go Wednesday. Obviously, there's other stuff going on Wednesdays. You're kind of limited. I think we may see a situation where Raw and SmackDown are back-to-back nights.
Wow, man. Yeah. You know, it's just going to be so exciting to see what the pro wrestling schedule looks like next year.
Oh, well, it affects us too.
I know. You know, it definitely like you changes and me. Our whole lives, right? Like, I know it doesn't seem like that big of a deal, but it's like it changes your whole podcast schedule, changes your routine. It just overall changes your life. And for the viewers too, who are so used to, like, you know, going in at 5 o'clock, wherever you're watching from, to tune into Monday Night Raw. And then all of a sudden, hey, it's Monday. I don't got anything to do. What the hell am I going to watch? So it is going to be a game changer for everybody. I want to go ahead and get into some of these super chats that we're getting. First of all, thank you so much to Sheldon Jackson and Matt James for gifting each 5DWO memberships. I appreciate you guys so very much. Let's get into some super chats. This one is from Amir Al-Karani, who says, Denise, it's so cool you landed an interview with Orange Cassidy. You're killing it. Thank you so much, man. That interview was actually from All In London Wembley. It was a fun one, though. You guys can check it out. We got CDust19, who says, Denise and Solo Monster, a dream pairing I never knew I needed. Let's effing go, baby.
Wow. Yeah, I get the Orange Cassidy thing everywhere I go. It's funny.
Hold on. They were making. Oh, I didn't get the.
Yeah, yeah. I think it went over your head. So I want.
It totally went over my head. I was like, inside my head, I was like, why are they bringing up an Orange Cassidy interview from like months ago?
No, you know, I did an interview with MJF last month also, and I just comment after comment, wow, I can't believe Orange Cassidy was actually interviewing MJF and they're on good terms now. I'm like, okay, like I haven't heard that before.
So. Okay, it's funny because at first I didn't see it, but the second that it was mentioned, I'm like, all of a sudden your face morphed and I saw you with the denim jacket. I saw you with the shades and the little backpack.
Yeah. Well, it's funny. I don't know how many years ago it was now. I went to some event and I dressed up as him. I had the shades and I did the denim. It was like a denim shirt. And there were more people coming up to me than some of the wrestlers who were at this event. I felt a little weirded out by it. But yeah, I don't see it. I don't have the scruff like he has. But apparently that's what people think. So
I can see it. If you dress up and you squint a little bit, you can definitely see it.
Maybe. Yeah.
Thank you so much to Amir. And I'm so sorry that I didn't get it the first time around. I was like, why are they bringing up an interview from like months and months ago? Like that's super random. Yeah. Oh my gosh, that's so funny. Matt James says, super stoked for this year's Royal Rumble. Just purchased my tickets for both nights of WrestleMania. And this Saturday begins solidifying what we will see. That is definitely the big thing. You know, obviously we're going to get into the Rumble and who we think is going to win, but everybody is going to be on the edge of their seats. Thank you so much to Matt James for that. All right, so let's get to it. I want to kick things off with, let's kick things off with the United States Championship match between Logan Paul and Kevin Owens. So here's the thing about this one. Like, for the most part, you got the intrigue portion of this all because you have this celebrity slash wrestler in Logan Paul. This is his first defense as the United States champion. And then you have Kevin Owens, who everybody loves and relates to, and you can never boo Kevin Owens. So going into this match, I want to start off by asking you how you felt about the story, how you felt about the U.S. tournament, and just sort of some of the shots that Logan Paul has been taking on Kevin Owens.
Well, Logan Paul, you know, the thing I'll say about Logan Paul as a promo, he's one of the best in the company. I mean, if there's one thing the guy is very good at, it's talking crap. So, I mean, that feeds into what I think is one of his strengths. Yeah, the U.S. title tournament, the whole story with Owens in the hand and the cast on the hand, it's very clear to me why they're doing that. You know, they're building in an excuse for the inevitable finish because Kevin Owens is not going to win the United States Championship. And so at least he'll have some kind of out at the end of this match. That really is what the entire match is being built around, right? It's being built around the right hand and you can't use the cast. And even I think on Friday night, you know, he went after the hand again. He's not losing the title in his first defense. And by the way, it's nice that we're actually getting a U.S. title defense. I find it funny that we have two champions on SmackDown who it's a very rare occurrence when we actually get to see them in the ring wrestling. And you have both champions on SmackDown fall under that category. So as much as I would like to see somebody else more full time with the belt, and I think by WrestleMania we'll get there. To me, the finish here is just a no-brainer.
I think so too, especially because I can't imagine Logan Paul losing the title right away again in his first defense. But at the same time, it's like, damn, I also wish we were getting to see this title defended more on SmackDown. Of course, if Kevin Owens becomes champion, we know that we would see a title match probably each and every single week. But I feel like since we're headed into WrestleMania, like there's no way that Logan Paul isn't on the WrestleMania card. And there's no way that he's not defending the United States Championship against somebody. My hope to this day is that it's still LA Knight. I think it would be awesome if we got Logan Paul, LA Knight for the United States Championship at WrestleMania and have that be the moment where LA Knight becomes United States Champion and kind of go from there. And then, you know, Logan Paul can continue on the schedule that he was normally on, because I feel like even though they did the tournament and we were constantly talking about the United States Championship, it's totally different than actually having somebody on the show constantly defending it.
Yeah, I mean, if you look at what they're doing with Gunther on Raw, every now and then, and we're going to get one on Monday, it's going to be Gunther against Kofi Kingston. Yeah, we've had a number of intercontinental title defenses on Monday night. And when you have somebody with the schedule that he obviously has, on the other show, you don't have that. Maybe it wouldn't be as big of a deal or as noticeable to me if the world champion was present more often. But they're in a situation right now where they have two absentee champions on the same show. So I don't see him as champion being a long-term plan. I don't think it can be. I don't think it should be. But Kevin Owens, I like Kevin Owens. I actually think Logan Paul has had some very good matches. Roman Reigns, one of the best matches that Logan Paul has had, came against Roman Reigns. He wrestled Rey Mysterio in Saudi Arabia a few months ago. Kevin Owens is going to give him a hell of a match. You know, these two are going to go out there. They're going to have a great match. But Kevin Owens is not going to walk out with the U.S. title. So Logan Paul win.
I'm with you on this one. I'm also rooting for Logan Paul, or rather expecting Logan Paul to get the win. So that's where we're at with the first win here.
Rooting for Logan Paul.
I know. I was going to say, I'm not necessarily rooting for Logan Paul.
I don't know.
I'm rooting for the victory. I know. Vince sends a generous super chat, man. Thank you so much to Vince, who says, WWE teased a lot of surprises on Raw. Guesses on Naomi, Liv Morgan, potential Trish, Maryse, outside the box scale, Kim, Mickey, Bella, AJ Lee, men's, Brock, Ray, Sammy, Pat McAfee, Sheamus, Wade, Shane O'Mac, WWE stacked roster. All right. Any of these names, really stick out to you as possibilities, either on the women's side or the men's side?
Yeah. Yes. I mean, you want to get into it now, or should we wait until we get to the actual Rumble matches? I'll say this,
portion now. Yeah.
Okay. So just looking at the names that are listed here, I'm saying maybe half of them I had jotted down. I have half of them on my own list of surprises of who I think we'll see. Shane, I will say Shane is not one of them. We've already had Shane come out. In fact, the last time Shane was in the Royal Rumble, I think a couple of years ago, he caused a bit of controversy coming out of that show. And then we all saw what happened at WrestleMania last year. I'm good without Shane, but I think Vin is in the right direction with some of these names.
I think so too. There's some good ones in here, preferably on some of the ones that he named. I think definitely Naomi is going to be a strong one there. Liv Morgan definitely as well. I don't know about Maryse, although that would be really cool. And then AJ Lee, of course, that would be like really huge, but don't know if that's actually happening. And then for the men's, I'm really hoping we do get Brock. I like when Brock comes out and is part of this. And then I think like when it comes to Shane McMahon, I don't know, man. I kind of feel like let's just hold off on that right now. Let's hold off on it just based on the last, you know, what you just mentioned right now with WrestleMania, with the Royal Rumble. It wasn't looking too good, you know?
Yeah, I don't need to see Shane McMahon coming out and dumping Cody Rhodes out of the Royal Rumble. So,
oh my God.
Can you imagine?
Oh my God. I think I would walk out. I would just like stand up and walk out. I'd be like, peace. I'm a head out.
Yeah.
We got Tay Tay, the savior here, who says, let's see, why am I? Okay, there you go.
Says, Tay-Tay, can't wait. I know Tay Tay.
Yeah. Says, can't wait for the Rumble. This Saturday Rumble is stacked. Who do you guys see returning? So we kind of talked a little bit about those. Just to bring up some additional names here. Do you see somebody like a Gail Kim or a Mickey James making an appearance in this? Obviously, Gail Kim is doing, you know, different stuff behind the scenes with TNA Wrestling. Mickey James is now doing stuff with OVW. Any thoughts?
No, I don't see either one of them. I mean, I'll throw a few more names out at you. Michelle McCool has been in the last couple of Royal Rumbles, and I know Undertaker is going to be in town. He's doing his one dead man show on Sunday, which I'm going to. That's how I know. So I imagine she'll be in town. It could be a thing where once a year they you know, kind of throw her in there. So it wouldn't shock me to see her in there. One name that is not necessarily someone I see coming up full time right now, and I'm not sure she's ready for that, but I've said for months I'd be surprised if we don't see Jade Cargill make a cameo in the Women's Rumble. Just you know, to put her out there, let her go in there, let her dominate for a little bit, eliminate some people, and then I could see her being eliminated by someone like Bianca. So I think Jade is someone who I would expect. Someone mentioned AJ Lee a moment ago. I have AJ Lee down as, you know, one of my surprises as well. I think we might see her. Naomi, I'm with you on that. I think we'll get Naomi in there. And Liv Morgan. Liv Morgan is ready to come back. It's just a matter of when. Obviously, the last time we saw her, she was put down by Rhea Ripley. And so you have that natural story if they want to go back to it. I would say, if you want to talk about the Women's Rumble here, I would say Liv would be a dark horse pick for me. She's not my pick to win. But if I had to pick a dark horse, it would be Liv Morgan. And then you do Liv Morgan and Rhea Ripley at WrestleMania. I still feel the match is Becky and Rhea. But you do have that issue where when Liv comes back, she should want to go after Rhea Ripley. I just see it more as an Elimination Chamber match. So whether it's one-on-one or if they do a women's chamber for Rhea's title, Liv would be in there. But I wouldn't say that she's my pick to win.
Got it. Got it. All right. There's some good stuff that's going to be interesting to see what actually goes down. I did like your mention, by the way, of Michelle McCool, because you brought up some good points on that. She has been in the past ones. And like you said, with The Undertaker doing his one dead man show, yeah, there's probably no way that she's not there at all. Mm-hmm. And then in regards to Jade, I did want to add one thing. And that is, if Jade doesn't appear in the Rumble, truthfully, I think I'm going to be a little bit more concerned in terms of how they view her, like, in-ring status if she isn't in the Royal Rumble. You see what I, like, you get what I'm saying? Like, if she's not, yeah, in the Rumble, it's almost like they don't necessarily trust her to have this moment. So for that reason, I would really hate it if she wasn't in the Rumble, because it would just start to get me thinking, like, okay, like, do they have faith in Jade? What's going on here? Because Triple H did kind of make a little bit of a mention about that in one of the press conference about, like, where Jade is at, kind of throwing a little bit of a shot to AEW with that. Mm-hmm. So if she doesn't appear in the Royal Rumble, I don't know. I'm going to be a little bit worried, just a little bit.
Yeah, I know what you're talking about. He made a comment about her past training, and if you read between the lines, you could tell what he was saying. I think I wouldn't necessarily be worried about it. It would be more a case of, if they just feel she's not ready, they've invested a lot in her. And I think they signed her for a reason. She was the first TKO signing, because they see what I think a lot of people see in her, what I see in her. Regardless of her in-ring ability, she looks like a megastar in the making. So I think taking their time with her is smart. I don't see the need to rush her onto television full-time. I also don't see there being an issue with her making a cameo in the Rumble. We've had people from NXT do that before, and it's just a one-off. So I wouldn't be concerned. I would be surprised, though, if she doesn't show up.
Definitely. We got Juju here, who says, one thing I like about the Rumble this year was not announcing the whole field like how Vince usually would. I prefer for it to be surprises. I don't want to know anyone who's, like, in it. I mean, obviously, we got a handful of names that have already declared themselves into the Rumble. We know that. But I also prefer for me to be like, oh, like, who's left? Like, I don't want to guess who's left, right? I wouldn't have an idea, just because you're going to have an idea when you watch the TV show on a weekly basis, but I like it for it to be a mystery.
Yeah, look, I like the surprises too. I still think they could have announced a few more names and then in the weeks leading up to the show, put more of a focus on people declaring that not only are they in, but they want to win, and making it's all about going to the main event of WrestleMania. It's all about getting that title match. And I almost feel like outside of the very top guys like Cody and Punk and Drew, there weren't enough people making a big deal about the fact that, hey, the Royal Rumble is coming up and I want to make sure I'm in it and this is my shot. So I think they could have done a better job with that. But you got 30 slots. So if you announce 20 or even half, if you announce 15 people, you have 15 surprise slots, right? That's plenty of surprises you could leave open for people.
We got Amir here who says, do you guys believe the SI report that Cody won't be in the WrestleMania main event? I don't know yet. I think for a while we've had speculations the second that The Rock came in that it's most likely going to be Rock versus Roman. I feel like it's going to be Rock versus Roman, but obviously I can't necessarily go out and 100% say that. What are your thoughts on this?
Yeah, I don't buy it. I think it's very suspect that we're suddenly getting this report. People around Triple H are leaking this, you know, 3 days before the show. They run a much tighter ship there in the last few months. I think the Punk debut at Survivor Series was proof of that. So because of that, I would tell people to take reports like that with a mound of salt and not put too much stock into it. I also think I don't believe that they would have flat out promoted Seth and Gunther and Cody and Punk on Monday, 5 days before the Rumble, if both of those things were actually going to happen. If anything, I think they would have teased it coming out of the Rumble. But the fact that they did both of those segments on Monday, we're supposed to believe, okay, those are going to be the WrestleMania matches. I don't buy it. I think they're trying to throw us off the scent, because it's a lot of people look at this and go, it's either Cody or Punk. And so, hey, let's make things interesting by making people, go this way instead of that way. That's all I see that as. I don't put much stock into it. I still think it's full steam ahead. I think it's Cody and Roman at WrestleMania.
All righty. We got Mobile Monsi who says Sasha Banks is returning. I'm calling it. I don't think that's happening, to be honest. And I keep telling people on my show, like, don't get your hopes up because I just don't think it's happening. What about you?
Yeah, I agree. The signs aren't really pointing in that direction. I mean, it'd be great. I mean, if you think about the Bayley storyline going on right now with Damage Control and where that looks to be headed, Bayley may need some friends. The timing wouldn't be any better than it would be now, but I'm with you. I every day that goes by, I'm thinking it's not happening.
Thank you so much to Mobile Monsi for sending in the super chat. All right, I want to go ahead and get into the undisputed WWE Universal Championship match. And this is Roman Reigns defending against Randy Orton, AJ Styles, and LA Knight. There's a whole lot, man, to kind of get into with this. And I want to start off by asking you, you know, we've been seeing this whole storyline, personally for me, Jason, has really made SmackDown so much more entertaining to watch. Like, I feel the second that Randy Orton came back, that AJ Styles came back, like, we just had this whole new life injected into SmackDown. So it's been a very enjoyable show the last couple of weeks. How have you felt about the story that they've been telling where Roman Reigns doesn't necessarily want to face all of these guys? There's also the issue, you know, things have gotten heated between AJ Styles and LA Knight. How have you liked this whole story?
I feel like it was a direction they had to go in because every Roman Reigns match that we see has been one-on-one. I mean, when was the last time we had a triple threat or a fatal four-way? You might have to go back to WrestleMania 3 years ago. So this changes it up a little bit. It makes it at least feel a little bit more like his title is actually in jeopardy. I mean, let's be honest. When was the last time you honestly felt that undisputed title was in jeopardy of being lost, right?
It's been one time. Yeah. And it was WrestleMania.
Right. So that was what, almost a year ago. So I think it's a smart thing to do to shake things up a little bit as far as his title defenses are concerned. I was hoping and thinking that when the time came for AJ to come back, it would be Roman and AJ one-on-one. AJ is one of those people throughout this entire Roman Reigns run that we have not gotten one-on-one. Roman Reigns and AJ Styles. Bobby Lashley is another one. So it's kind of surprising they haven't done those matches yet. And then Randy Orton came back and LA Knight, I thought maybe he'd be in the Rumble. And then it became pretty clear, okay, they're going to put him back in the ring with Roman. That I don't like as much just because it's clear he's not going to win. So that's two straight losses in effect to Roman Reigns. They could protect him though in this situation. I don't think he's going to take the losing fall on this match. Nor do I think Roman Reigns is in any way, shape, or form in real jeopardy of losing that title. I think things go exactly the way they've gone. I think Roman Reigns goes in there, they play it up like the title has never been in this much jeopardy, but in the end, he pulls it out, probably with some help from his cousin. And I think AJ Styles is the one to take the losing fall. I was expecting one-on-one. We're getting a fatal four-way. I still think AJ is the one to take the losing fall in this match.
See, I've been going back and forth between who's going to be the one to take the pin, and I've kind of gone between LA Knight and Randy Orton. So when you mentioned AJ Styles, I'm like, for some reason, I've been going and thinking the opposite way. I've been thinking, oh, it's going to be Randy Orton. It's going to be LA Knight. So I feel like that's more so the big mystery in this match. It's not necessarily who's going to win, because I think everybody here is expecting Roman Reigns to win. I think it would be crazy to root against Roman Reigns winning in this one. But the bigger question is, who's taking the pin? I think, and it's backwards, of course, but I think that's the biggest question heading into this match.
Yeah, which is not always ideal for your main event title match. It's not a matter of, well, who's going to win or lose. It's like, well, who's going to take the losing fall? But that's kind of the way it is with this Roman Reigns run, because he's been on this infinity run now for so long. I could see Randy Orton taking it. Honestly, it should not be LA Knight. LA Knight should not be taking consecutive pinfall losses to Roman Reigns. So whether it's AJ or Randy, I think it should be one of them. I say AJ because I feel like they might want to save a singles match with Randy for the Elimination Chamber. It doesn't look like Roman's going to be there, but some future event. And so they could protect him in that way. AJ is not someone, I mean, I like AJ, but I would hardly say he's someone they've done a noticeable job of protecting in recent years. So I feel like, to me, it's a safe bet. I think it'll be him.
I feel like, you know, when it comes to AJ Styles and more particular Randy Orton, I feel like both of these guys are made dudes. So it would affect LA Knight so much more because, like you mentioned, he already took that loss to Roman Reigns. So going again and being the one to take the loss here, I think that would kind of suck for him, man. So yeah. I'm thinking again, I like what you said about, you know, probably seeing, you know, hoping to see Roman Reigns versus AJ Styles one-on-one. I would also like to see Roman Reigns versus Randy Orton one-on-one. So I think it's probably going to be either one of those two guys. And I thought the Royal Rumble match was originally going to be Roman Reigns versus Randy Orton. So that's what I thought they were going to originally do. So I don't know. I'm really excited about this one. And like you mentioned, it's been a while since we've actually seen, you know, Roman Reigns defend his title against more than one person. And the last time we saw it at freaking WrestleMania 37, like that was such an enjoyable match. Love that match so much.
An excellent match.
Yeah. So now I'm just like, okay, I know this match is going to be good, but in terms of who's winning, it's Roman. It's definitely Roman. Right. We got a very generous super chat here from a Matt who says, a Matt McClure who says, here because of Solo Monster. Let's go. I appreciate you, man. Thank you so much for hopping in. All right. So we got to get into our official predictions for both the men's and the women's. But before we get to that, let's take and hear from our sponsor. My New Year's resolution is to cut back on sugar and add more protein to my diet to help me stay on track of my fitness goals this year. And Magic Spoon makes that easier and more delicious than ever. Magic Spoon comes in a variety pack. The four flavors are cocoa, fruity, frosted, and peanut butter. This pack has 0 grams of sugar, 13 to 14 grams of protein, and 4 to 5 grams of net carbs. Only 140 calories a serving. It's high protein, has 0 grams of sugar, keto-friendly, gluten-free, grain-free, and soy-free. My favorite flavor is the fruity one. Head on over to magicspoon.com/Denise to grab a variety pack and try it today. And be sure to use my promo code Denise at checkout to save $5 off your order. And Magic Spoon is so confident in their product, it's backed with a 100% happiness guarantee. So if you don't like it for any reason, they'll refund your money, no questions asked. Remember, start the new year off right with a delicious bowl of high-protein cereal at magicspoon.com/Denise and use the code Denise to save $5 off. Jason, did you catch the part where I was struggling to open the cereal box?
I did. That was very disappointing. Very disappointing.
I was like, I was trying to open it and then I looked at the camera and I was like, just smile.
Yeah. So see, I went the other way. I went the other way because I once did a very similar Magic Spoon advertisement and I went to go open the thing and it just tore open. And so we had Magic Spoon all over the place. So
you're like eating it from the floor, trying to pick it up, but
no, I wasn't. I was not doing that.
Yeah. Do not eat off the floor. 5 second rule, maybe even trim it down to 3 second rule.
Yeah. Yeah. How about the no second rule? I like that rule better.
Wait, it depends. It depends on what you're eating. If I drop something that I really like, I'm going to be like, no one saw that.
That's true.
Oh, thank you so much to Matt McClure who says, I'll be sticking around Denise rules. Come on. Thank you so much, Matt. Appreciate that very, very much. All right. So we spent quite a bit talking about the women's Royal Rumble, but we didn't actually give like official predictions. So let's go ahead and get into the official predictions for the women's Royal Rumble. We know that the women's Royal Rumble obviously has had a shorter history, but honestly, they have all been very enjoyable. I can't think of a women's Royal Rumble that I did not like. Like they always find a way to make it special. I love seeing a lot of like, you know, the former, you know, the WWE divas back in the day coming in and making some appearances. And it's always the same thing. Someone comes out, they look wonderful and everybody's on the internet going, damn, she aged like fine wine and things like that. So that's always funny to see. But I love the Women's Royal Rumble. I'm looking forward to it. How have you felt about like the short history of the Women's Rumble?
Yeah, I think there have been a lot of enjoyable ones. I remember the first one in 2018, the one that Asuka won. Being very good. And then, of course, well, I mean, where are we now? 2024. So this will be number 5 or 6?
I think this is now 6, right?
6, I think. Yeah, so, I mean, I think there have been some very enjoyable ones, memorable finishes. I know there was the one that came down to Charlotte. And, was it Charlotte and Shayna? I think it might have been Charlotte and Shayna Baszler. So Becky Lynch has played into a past Royal Rumble as well, where she came out, and I remember her pleading her case in the aisleway to Fit Finlay, and she ended up in the match and went on to win the entire thing. So I think this is also going to be a very Becky Lynch, kind of a very important Royal Rumble year for Becky Lynch.
Seven, by the way. Sorry. Seven. I was looking at this and I was like, wait a minute. I was doing the math. Seven. Yeah. This one will be the eighth because it was the first one was Asuka. Then we had Becky. Then we had Charlotte, Bianca, Rhonda, Rhea. Sorry, seventh. Yeah, this will be the seventh. You would think that would be sense. A lot easier for
me. Actually, but... well, you mentioned Bianca. I kind of block out some of the Thunderdome stuff, but I remember that was one of my favorites.
That ending with her and Rhea. My God, it had me, completely had me.
It did. No. The other thing I liked about it was you knew watching that, like these two women are the two women they're going to build these divisions around for the next 5 to 10 years. And that's pretty much the way it's playing out right now, certainly on Raw with Rhea Ripley. But my regret is that you didn't have that in front of fans, because I feel like that finish would have gone over really well in front of a big crowd.
Oh, yeah, for sure. And you're right, because at the time we were all thinking, oh, these two girls are going to go on to be such big major stars. Yeah. And that really is what happened. Mm-hmm. And it wasn't even like that long ago. And within that short period of time, all of a sudden we're seeing Bianca be like this face of WWE, where she's in all of the advertisements, all of the little commercials and things like that, doing media day. Your own reality show, exactly. And then you have Rhea Ripley, who's literally just like one of the biggest stars, period, right now in WWE. So it's kind of crazy to think that we were watching that and did not know what their, you know, futures would end up looking like. So, winner, who are you going with? Like, who are you? I know you said your dark horse pick earlier was Liv Morgan. Mm-hmm. Who are your top two picks here to win the Women's Royal Rumble?
Top two picks are the ones who were in the ring on Monday night, Becky and Bayley, because I honestly don't see there being another name. And again, Liv is a dark horse, but I don't see there being another obvious name that would make sense this year, unless they just want to shock the system and throw somebody out there out of left field that we're just not looking at. And you could certainly have, you know, Bianca win or someone like that. But to me, it's Becky or Bayley. I've gone back and forth. At the beginning of the month, Bayley was my pick. I thought the way the story was going, she would win the Rumble. And again, when she had to make her choice about which champion to go after, she would end up going after EO. Something would happen between Rumble and Mania, and they would kind of further that whole damage control split. And that could happen. I see it going down a different way. And now I'm leaning towards Becky. And I think Becky Lynch is going to win the Royal Rumble. And not only do I think Becky Lynch is going to win, but I think it comes down to Becky and Nia Jax. They really... to me, have been foreshadowing that, especially that segment on Monday. Nia being very full of herself. She has the win at day one over Becky. I think they're building to a final of Becky and Nia, with Becky eliminating her and kind of getting her win back in a way, but kind of getting the win back under her sails. And then she gets that win. And we go to what is the obvious match for WrestleMania, which is Rhea defending against Becky Lynch.
Yes. So here's the thing. Like, the big thing that I want to get out of this is Rhea Ripley versus Becky Lynch at WrestleMania. Like, I don't care how we get there, but we need to get there. Like, that's the match for the women that I'm most excited for.
Let me ask you this. Do you think there is a chance that they end up doing Rhea and Liv at WrestleMania and they do Rhea and Becky in Australia?
I'm not going to say that's not a chance, but I just don't. I feel like, because it's in Australia and you want to give Rhea Ripley the biggest match, of course that's Becky Lynch. But then at the same time, it's WrestleMania and you should be having the best match or the biggest match, excuse me, at WrestleMania. So I'm like, I feel we can see this one in either direction. Selfishly, I'm going to say WrestleMania because I'm not going to be in Australia. I'm going to be at WrestleMania. So for selfish reasons, I'm going with WrestleMania.
I throw it out there for discussion purposes just because I think we're going to get both of those matches. It really is just a matter of, do you do the first one in February with Becky, and do you do Liv at WrestleMania, and they give her that big Mania match that she really has never had before? Becky's had a whole bunch of them. Although last year at WrestleMania, Becky wasn't really in what I would call a major match. I think she was in a six-woman tag. She was kind of phased down a little bit. That's part of the reason why I think this year she'll be back at a prime spot. And I think that's the Mania match. So I got Becky winning the Women's Rumble.
So here's the thing. Like, I feel like they don't have to necessarily have Becky Lynch winning the Rumble to get this match with her and Rhea Ripley at WrestleMania. So for that reason, like, my first pick, I'm like you. I went back and forth, but I'm going the opposite direction. So you started with Bayley and then switched to Becky. I started with Becky, and now I'm switching to Bayley. Okay. So I'm switching to Bayley because I feel like if you do have Bayley win the Rumble, first of all, it's going to be like a really nice moment for her because, you know, she's done so much in her career, but she hasn't had these like major, massive, like, you know, Royal Rumble, WrestleMania type moments. And so I kind of want to see that happen for her. So for that reason, I feel that we can get our cake and eat it too. Have Bayley win the Royal Rumble, but and then find a different direction, maybe utilize Elimination Chamber in order to get Becky Lynch and Rhea Ripley at WrestleMania. So I'm trying to find ways to get everything.
Yeah. And again, I can see that. I could definitely see that. And maybe, again, Becky has to find her way through the chamber and earn her way to WrestleMania that way. And again, then they can do Rhea and Liv in Australia if they want to do their title match there. So I think that's absolutely possible. I agree with what you said as far as Bayley. You compare Bayley to Sasha and Charlotte and Becky on the main roster. She's kind of the odd one out because she's never had that big moment. She's never had... Although she did get a win at WrestleMania, I want to say it was 33 in Orlando, which I should know this because I was there. But I think they had they might have had a four-way match and she won. But again, when you think of her, what's the first big moment or accomplishment that comes to mind? For me, it's still that win in Brooklyn in NXT over Sasha Banks. That was in 2015. That's been almost a decade. So if anyone's overdue to have a big moment on the main roster, it's Bayley. But I just look at it now and I say, okay, it might make more sense to have her be eliminated by one of the members of Damage Control. Because they've been doing things on SmackDown where they're not always there for her, or if she throws her opponent out of the ring and she expects them to beat the opponent up, they just stand there and she's like, what are you guys doing? It's very subtle, but you could see kind of the direction this is going in. And I could see her being dumped out by if Dakota Kai is cleared, because she's been out for a very long time. And I remember her on one of her Twitch streams a number of months ago saying she might be ready, possibly around Rumble time. And then we haven't heard anything about it since. Well, they haven't announced very many names for the Women's Rumble. If she ends up in the match, I could see Dakota Kai dumping Bayley out. And Bayley's like, what the hell? And she just says, look, it's every woman for herself. And it just furthers that story and it causes problems and tension within Damage Control. So this one, I here's the thing about these two Rumbles I like this year. You and I have gone back and forth now with two different scenarios. The Men's Rumble, we're going to talk about that in a second. There's a number of different ways, frankly, that the Men's Rumble can go. It's nice to have a year where for both Rumble matches, you can't say for sure 100% who's going to win or what direction, what scenario is going to play out. To me, those are the best years where it's a little more unpredictable. I think Triple H has done a good job in that respect this year.
I like that too. And like, we're sitting here talking about all the possibilities of what can main event WrestleMania, what can be the big matches at WrestleMania. So I definitely like that. We got a couple of super chats here. This one is from Tay Tay the Savior, who says CM Punk is my pick to win the Men's Rumble. Bayley should win the Women's. Thank you so much to Tay Tay the Savior. We got Matt McClure, who says Punk wins the Rumble. Cody goes through a combined Raw and SmackDown Elimination Chamber as his last opportunity to face Roman at WrestleMania. Bruce Taylor sent in a super chat. Didn't write a message, but then sent a second one saying, great to see you, Solo. Drew needs a title run. Dude, Drew is doing some of the best work that he has done in a very, very long time. I think we can all agree on that.
Yeah. I mean, I said this the other night. This is the best that Drew McIntyre has been, I think, since he's come back to the company. I mean, certainly as far as his promos and his character work, his in-ring work has always been very good. That hasn't changed. But I've been enjoying. He's been one of the highlights of Monday Night Raw for the past 4 or 5 months. And when we didn't know prior to Monday what the situation was going to be with Seth Rollins, is he going to, you know, vacate the title? Is he going to have surgery? I said if they need a plan B, CM Punk and Drew McIntyre would have been a fine plan B. You could have had Drew win the Rumble, or if the title was held up, you could have had him win the championship and then Punk wins the Rumble. If they would have gone on to Punk and Drew, yeah, we got that face-to-face a few weeks ago. They had a very good promo segment together. And Punk is obviously a great promo. I thought Drew held his own. So I agree 100%. I think Drew is doing some of his best work. Is he going to get a title run? I don't see that in the next few months. I think he's just outside of that title picture, whatever it's going to be. But yeah, Drew has been fantastic. And I don't know what his future holds. You know, there's been a lot of talk about his contract, and his contract is up after WrestleMania. I still think at the end of the day, he's going to stay in WWE. I don't see that changing. If he did leave, if he did go somewhere else or took time off, it would be a real blow to Monday Night Raw.
Yeah, man. And I agree with you. Like, I had thought the same thing when we didn't know what Seth's situation was going to be. I would have been happy with Drew McIntyre, CM Punk, just because, you know, Drew McIntyre, CM Punk, they had that, you know, really, like you mentioned on Raw, that really great moment. But also, not only that, but Drew McIntyre has really, he could have easily kind of just like fell to the wayside and not really done anything and let the focus be on these guys like Punk and Seth Rollins and Gunther and all these other people, right? But he did it. He was like, whatever it is, he kept doing it, and he kept coming out and kind of proving that, like, hey, don't forget about me. Like, I'm not somebody to be forgotten about. And that's kind of like the big thing that I wanted to add about Drew McIntyre.
Yeah. Yeah. And he goes out there. The thing about his character is he goes out there, and I mean, clearly he's a heel now, but I had some people the other night say, oh, well, he's more of a tweener. And I can see that. But what I like about the character is a lot of what he's going out there and saying, he's not lying.
No, so he's not.
No, he's saying these things and you're like, you know what? The guy kind of has a point. He's just going about it the wrong way. Right. That's what makes him a heel. But it's not like he just flipped the switch and just went unhinged, and all of a sudden it's like, well, how do you explain this behavior all of a sudden? That's why I say it's some of the best character work that he's done. They've tapped into a character or a persona with him right now that I think works.
Hell yeah, man. We got Vin here who says, is there a presser after the show this week and assume Punk won't be at one until they think the Bucks question will fizzle out? I don't know if CM Punk will be in it. I'm expecting there to be a presser for WrestleMania. I haven't gotten any details on that. I don't know if you have, but I'm assuming that they are.
I have not heard anything to the contrary. I on Saturday will be racing back to my Airbnb to try to go live on YouTube. That's where I will be. So
okay, so you're not going to be watching the Rumble physically.
No, I will. Location. I'll be at the Rumble, and my plan is literally as soon as the Rumble is over to get out of that stadium.
Oh, okay, I see what you mean.
As quickly as I can, because we're like right down the road, and try to get back and hit YouTube and go live to talk about the whole thing. So we'll see if that succeeds. Trying to, you know, pull the car out of a stadium after a major event. Yeah, we'll see how that goes.
It's always the worst, but you'll figure it out. Things always work out the way they're supposed to.
Yeah.
Matt James says, what if we get Becky versus Rhea at Elimination Chamber and Bianca wins the Rumble and we get Rhea, Bianca at Mania? See, I don't necessarily hate that either. We were just talking about Bianca having her Royal Rumble moment, but not in front of fans. And Rhea, Bianca, are you kidding me? Sign me up for that one too.
That's the direction I hope they're headed in later this year, or maybe WrestleMania next year. I hadn't really thought about it for WrestleMania this year. I don't see it, but hell yeah. I mean, that's the match I'm looking forward to.
Juju says, Liv was also the last person to defeat Rhea in singles victory, which was May 2022, so they could play off of that as well. Thank you so much to Juju for sending in that fun fact there. We also have Bron Kosva, who says, late to the party, but any truth to Cody now not heading to WrestleMania, or is it just throwing random rumors to throw people off before the Rumble? I don't know. I'm not going to go out and say it's just throwing out random rumors because, you know, I'm not going to say that, but I just don't know that is 100% true that Cody is out the door. And we can make the assumption, right? We've all been predicting whether or not we're going to see Rock and Roman. I feel they've made the Rock has definitely made a lot of mentions to this already, not just on WWE Day One, but also on, you know, interviews and with Pat McAfee on ESPN First Take. I mean, this guy has mentioned it for a reason. Let's be real. It's most likely going to happen, but can I 100% say yes? No, I can't until they announce it.
Yeah, I agree. Rock knows what he's doing. All the things he's saying, it's not an accident. But again, as I've said many times, you want to build to what you claim is going to be the biggest match of all time. I don't think you blow that in 8 weeks. I think you can definitely, you know, start promoting and building to something at next year's WrestleMania. Because, you know, we were talking before, you asked me the question about how do I feel about WWE right now and the way things are and, you know, business being what it is, they're in a very unique position where you have somebody like The Rock who suddenly is back on TV and he's back in the mix and he's teasing that, you know, he's going to sit at the head of the table, and they don't need him this year. There have been so many years in the past where they have people who go down to injury or they just don't have enough big names. And what do? They have to break the emergency glass and pick up the phone, you know, pick up the bat phone and call Stone Cold or Undertaker or someone like that. They're so stockpiled with stars right now that they don't need to do that. And they have stories that people are buying into that will hopefully pay off at WrestleMania this year. And I just, I hate the idea that they would just disrupt all of that just to rush into a match that they could take their time with and promote for either Mania next year or another big show. That's kind of my attitude about the whole Rock situation.
I want to see it. I want to see it.
I know you want to see it. I can tell. I can tell your arms are twitching. You're ready for it now.
I'm like, I want to see it. Like, this is it. Like, I was waiting for it since WrestleMania 39. I thought it was going to happen then. It didn't. And then I swear, when The Rock said that it was supposed to happen, I was like, damn, man. It's like finding out 10 years later that your crush liked you back, you know? It's one of those things where, like, damn, that could have happened. Are you kidding me?
Yeah.
And so, it's like, how much better would it have been had it happened at WrestleMania 39? In my opinion, but I'm not even going to go down that hole again. I think it would have been better to have the match then, and then that way we're sitting here WrestleMania 40 talking about Roman and Cody and whether or not he gets to finish his story. I think if you would have swapped the two, it would have just been a lot better. But hey, things happen, things play out the way they did, and I'm hoping for the best with this story because I do feel bad. I don't want to see Cody not finish his story, you know? Like, there's a part of me, and I think a part of and a lot of people where you're like, we're all rooting for something in life, right? So when you see somebody like Cody who's been wanting something and he finally gets his moment, it fills us people here with like, oh, you know what? He did it. I can one day complete my story too. Right. We're all rooting for the feel-good ending, you know?
You sound like the trailer I watched the other day for 2K24. Like the whole game is built around finishing your story.
See, but it's true though. It's so easy. Like everybody is like thinking of that one goal in their head right now. That's like, damn, I really wish that happens one day. Well, we'll see. We all want to finish our story. Yeah. We got a very generous super chat here from R33S3M who says, for making me laugh so hard last night, have some money. I'm trying to remember what happened last night. I don't know.
Well, that might be the sign of a good night, the fact that you can't remember it.
Well, there was one funny thing that I accidentally made enter me trend on Twitter. So that was pretty funny.
Enter me?
Enter me. Yeah, I did like a Royal Rumble pool thing and it was supposed to be enter me into the hashtag Royal Rumble pool. I thought Twitter was going to have hashtag Royal Rumble trend, but instead it had enter me trend in all caps. And I'm like, damn. Well,
see, that was your mistake. Your mistake was thinking that Twitter wouldn't start trending enter me. Right. See, that I thought you would know Twitter better than you do, but apparently not.
No, man. And in the pro wrestling category, so it looked really funny because it said pro wrestling, number 8, enter me, all in caps. Like, it killed me. Highlight of my year so far. Thank you so much to R33S3. All right, so the last thing that we need to get into is the official pick for the men's Royal Rumble. We had a really heated confrontation between CM Punk and Cody Rhodes. Man, I was like, here, take my bank account. I'm completely sold with this. Love what they did here. I'm just going to say it. I want CM Punk to win the Rumble. I know I'm crazy. I wouldn't mind it if Cody won, but we just saw Cody win last year. So for the reason, that's the only reason why I'm going specifically for CM Punk here.
Yeah, up until the beginning of this month, I mentioned I was thinking Bayley. Now I'm thinking Becky. I had Punk winning the Rumble because I specifically did not really care to see Cody win 2 years in a row. And I know it's been something like 26 years or 27 years, they said, since it's happened. I just didn't think it was needed. And you could always have Cody go on to win the Elimination Chamber. Somebody sent a super chat in before and mentioned the idea of a cross-branded Elimination Chamber. That's the idea that I talked about on my podcast about a month ago, was the idea of doing a cross-branded chamber match made up of people who have lost to Roman or in some way have been wronged by the bloodline. And so that way, if Cody doesn't win the Rumble, he would obviously be part of that chamber match. You could have had Drew in the chamber and people like that. And Cody could have won his way in that way. Because they've ever since WrestleMania last year, it's been all about, oh, he needs more adversity. So that he spent months feuding with Brock Lesnar, and it's like, all right, how much adversity does the guy really need? Right? He's over enough as it is. So I didn't really want to see Cody win the Rumble. But now, as time has gone on, I still would rather not see him do it 2 years in a row. But I think Cody is going to win the Royal Rumble. And I think some of the stories that we're hearing even today, you know, we were talking about the rumors going around. I think part of that is trying to throw people off the scent of what is going to be an obvious choice, because really it's Punk or Cody, right? I mean, unless The Rock is a surprise entrant in the Rumble, and you can never discount the possibility that that might happen, it's Cody or Punk. I don't really see there being another realistic winner this year. I think it's Cody, and then Punk, who's already been announced for the chamber next month. I think Cody has too, but I know Punk will be there, and they could find a different path for CM Punk, and it might be through the Elimination Chamber match. I'm going to go the opposite way of you and go with Cody Rhodes winning 2 years in a row. And I feel like they were focusing on it so much on Monday. Like, Michael Cole was so heavy-handed with it on commentary. That, plus the fact, you know, he's on the cover of the video game. There's so many indicators that they have not deviated from the plan. I hope they have not deviated from the plan. And I think you just go the simplest route, which is Cody wins the Rumble and he gets to choose Roman for WrestleMania.
Yeah, they can't do this whole finish the story thing to Cody Rhodes and then not let him finish his stories at some point. Because, like, I remember, like, going into WrestleMania 39, they had the t-shirts at the Superstore. It said, finish the story, blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, oh, they got the t-shirts. I already know the finish to this match.
Right. Right. Well, but again, it's not even a matter of will he finish. He'll finish the story. Like, it's not a question of if. It's just a matter of when at this point. But to basically, if you do the match again, and you effectively repeat the same finish 2 years in a row. Like, 1 year, all right, he's sitting there, he's all sad. You can build a story around that, right? You can build the comeback story. For him to make the comeback and then lose again, then it starts to become hard for people, and they look at him and go, well, this guy's a loser. You know, I bet on a loser here. If it's 2 years in a row, you know what? Maybe I'll reconsider rooting for this guy and I'll root for somebody else. And you don't want that to happen because he's one of the top baby faces they have. So I'm going to go with Cody. I do think, I don't think actually it comes down to Cody and Punk as the final two. If I had to predict who the final two would be, I would say Cody and Drew would be the final two in this match. And then Drew would be the one to fly out of the ring and Cody would win the Rumble.
See, I just think it would be more exciting if it was Cody and CM Punk down to the final two, because if it's Drew and Cody, I'm going to be like, oh, okay, Cody's winning. For me, it's already straightforward. If you have Cody and CM Punk, oh, you best believe, Jason, I'm going to be like, what the hell is going to happen right now? Like, full on edge of my seat status, you know? So yeah. I think for me, it would be a little bit more of which direction are they going to go in if they do have them both in the final two. It's going to be kind of like how I felt when I was watching Rhea and Bianca, but times like 100.
I get where you're coming from, but I think Drew eliminates Punk and therefore it ends up being Cody and Drew. Drew is eliminated. And now going into Elimination Chamber, you've built up an issue between Drew and Punk, who had that segment a few weeks ago where Drew made it very clear he doesn't appreciate this guy coming back and being handed opportunities and thinking that, you know, he's going to waltz into WrestleMania. So he takes it upon himself in the Rumble to throw him out. And he gets massive heat for it, which only guarantees that the reaction for Cody when he dumps Drew is going to be huge. And now going into the Chamber, you can have a chamber match to determine a number one contender for Seth Rollins, and Punk and Drew are center stage. They're the two key elements of that Elimination Chamber match, and then Punk wins and he goes on to challenge Seth.
All right. I see where you're going with this. All right. We got a couple of super chats here. This one's from Denisha Lane, who says, Denise, can your mod your Chad, I have experience. Oh, thank you so much for letting me know that. I actually have a moderator who I work with already, but I still appreciate you letting me know this. So if I ever need a backup, that's good to know. Will Chisholm says, let's say the Rock-Roman match happens. Do we believe that it's going to be a good match? 10 years ago, the man tore everything in his body. The man is 52. Yeah, and that was definitely, you know, something that you don't want to see happen to the Rock because he's got a lot of responsibilities and things. Will the match be good? I would hope so. God, I would hope so. If it wasn't, it would just be like a terrible thing.
Well, look, I was actually in the stadium for both WrestleMania matches with John Cena. And the first one, I know in the first one, he tore his hamstring. Otherwise, I think he came out of it unscathed. The second one is where he tore everything. He tore, I don't know how many muscles this guy tore, but he was in bad shape. And I didn't like the second match. The first match was good. I didn't like the second match. And yeah, that was over 10 years ago. And not only is it over 10 years, it's not like he's been working in the interim, right? He hasn't worked a match in 10 years. I'm not counting the 6 seconds with Eric Rowan because that doesn't count. An actual match, you can't replicate that by... I know he works out like a beast, and I'm not saying he's not in good physical shape, but that's very different than being in the shape he needs to be in to go in there at a WrestleMania and have a 15 or 20 or 25 minute match. Now, I'm sure Roman Reigns would, you know, do his part to guide him and it would be paced in a way where, you know, he doesn't blow up or anything like that. Would it be good? I don't know. I think the build could be a situation where the build ends up being better than the match itself, which is one of my fears. I think they would work to make sure that they could give the best possible match that they can give, but it's a concern because again, it's been so long. And it's not like we don't have wrestlers who are in their 50s who are still going, but they're active. You know, Rock has not been active. And if he gets hurt again, he's got so many irons in the fire and so many different things going on. It could be a catastrophe if he gets hurt again, which is why I'm surprised they're finally coming around to it now. As time has gone on, I just figured, all right, he's been teasing it over the years that he might come back. Never say never. But the fact that it took this long to get to this point, I was convinced that it's just not going to happen. He was more in love with the idea of having a match with Roman as opposed to actually doing it. But now it's clear we're going to get some kind of a match at some point. I hope for our sake and for his sake that it is good because they're clearly going to hype it as the greatest thing of all time. It would be a shame if they went in there and they stunk out the joint.
Oh, no, it would just be terrible.
I know you would be disappointed. Denise would be more disappointed.
Hell yeah.
Than anybody else.
You know, it's like, it would just be terrifying. I would just, if it was really, really bad, because, I feel like they would be smart enough to, like you said, to figure out a pace and a way that, you know, the Rock is out there doing his thing and not, like you mentioned, getting blown up or anything like that, getting hurt. Obviously, you know, with injuries, you can't always just prevent that stuff, but you know, there's ways around to like making and building the story of the match. So it would suck if it was terrible, but I'm not going to think that way because I'm excited for what they're going to do. I think the match is definitely happening. I can't imagine it not happening with the amount of times that The Rock has name dropped this match as a possibility for WrestleMania. We got Tay-Tay the Savior who says, who is your final four for both Rumbles? So you had mentioned Drew, Cody, CM Punk. Would you add, who would be the fourth person you would add for the men's? Like Sammy, Jay,
I would be surprised if Sami Zayn isn't in the Rumble. I don't know if he'll be the final four. I mean, final four is—it's hard to predict because there have been Rumbles where the fourth person in the ring is someone that you would never expect. It's just—it's almost like they just have a random person make it all the way. It could be Dominic. Like I don't know who the fourth person would be, but I would say it comes down to Cody and Drew, Cody, Drew, and Punk, with Drew eliminating Punk and then Cody winning the Rumble. As far as the Women's Rumble is concerned, you know, again, I think Becky and Nia, it comes down to the two of them. And I think if Bayley ends up getting eliminated by Dakota or if one of the other members of Damage Control is in there, then I think that would probably happen towards the end. So maybe a final four of Becky, you know, Nia, maybe Bianca. Bayley and Dakota, I don't know. I don't know where Bianca might fit into that equation.
Ideally for me, it would be Becky, Bailey, Bianca, and throw in Nia Jax as like this, you know, big force in the actual like final four. So I think that would be pretty cool to see. Yeah. Will Chisholm says, it kind of hurts my heart to see The Rock with reading glasses, LOL now. Well, to be honest, there's a lot of people that wear glasses now at even younger ages.
It makes it work.
Yeah, I mean, he's honestly like rocking it with like very good fashion, man. He looks really great on First Take. I like the look that he had going for him. Yeah, man, thank you so much. Thank you, Will. All right. So that is it. We ran through the matches for the Royal Rumble. We ran through our predictions.
Well, there's one more thing. So with the men's Rumble, as far as potential surprises, you know, somebody earlier mentioned Brock Lesnar. And I would be surprised if Brock wasn't in the Rumble. I'll throw another prediction out there, which is that Brock is in the Rumble. And Brock is the one who eliminates Gunther. Because I have a feeling that that's the direction we're heading in. I feel like it's going to be Brock and Gunther at WrestleMania. And Gunther was so confident on Monday that he's going to win. And then when I win, I'm challenging you for the World Heavyweight title. I think Brock is a surprise and he eliminates Gunther because who else is going to eliminate Gunther? And if they're going to kickstart whatever his program for WrestleMania is going to be, that would be the way to do it.
I really, really hope that you're right on that because I would be so excited. I don't care how we get Brock versus Gunther, but we have to get this match. We just have to. It's one of those matches that I think at this point has become a dream match for a lot of fans, and we want to see it freaking happen. So if they did do that, if they did play off of that in the Rumble, it would be really freaking sweet. But with that being said...
And Andrade, that's my other surprise.
Yeah, you're right. Freaking Andrade. Yeah, I expect him too. That's a good one. Thank you so much for mentioning Andrade. Then you brought some good ones up. Yes. Hell yeah. Ooh.
I've been doing this for a while.
I'm trying to think who they would have Andrade like go in there with, but it doesn't matter. I think it would be really cool to still see him and come out and see he's done with AEW. So
yeah, I see it more as just a reintroduction, not necessarily him starting an issue with somebody. Are they going to put him on SmackDown and, you know, work him into the LWO stuff and the Escobar stuff? Probably. Whether he's on the heel side or the babyface side, I don't know. But Rey Mysterio has been out for a few months. I know he was working towards trying to be back at the Rumble. I'm expecting him to be in the Rumble. And I think his son will eliminate him.
Circle back to that. I wouldn't mind seeing that. They did some good stuff, some good work together.
Get some revenge. There you go.
Yeah. Alrighty. Well, there you go. That was our Royal Rumble prediction show. Jason, I seriously want to thank you so much for taking the time out of your day to do this. It was a lot of fun to do our first one-on-one show together.
Yeah.
Before we go, like, please let the people know where they can check out some of your work.
Sure. So the podcast that I do, full name is Solomonster Sounds Off. We're entering year number 17, believe it or not, because I'm an old fart when it comes to this stuff. So that is the audio show. It's once a week. It drops every Sunday. And then I'm also live on YouTube. Solomonster Sounds Off, live every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. I just had some content that I pushed out this morning as well. And you can follow me on Twitter. I still say Twitter. I don't say on X because it makes it sound like I'm on drugs. So follow me on Twitter. You like that, right? At Solomonster is my handle on there.
Alrighty, everyone, make sure to give Jason some love. The link is in the description box below. And of course, if you guys want to purchase Magic Spoon, the link is also in the description box below. As for today, I will be on later on for the AEW Dynamite post show with Righteous Reg. So we'll be here having a good time talking about that. And then there's going to be tons of Royal Rumble content coming up on the channel. So take a look on all of that because there's going to be so much. But if you haven't already, please do not forget to check out my most recent interview with Dustin Rhodes. Really great conversation. Nearly an hour of just talking about his career and so many different items. So go ahead and check that one out. But other than that, thank you to everybody. Please do not forget to subscribe, and we'll catch you guys on the next one. Bye, everyone.